We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
That overtime winner against the Jags is one of my sneaky favorite Santana Moss highlights of all time. What a game he had. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are brought to you today and every day exclusively. Sponsor of our show is the law firm, Kondori and Murad. They help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and we find the Cowboy Killer, Santana Moss, who is the newest inductee, we found out this week, into the team's Ring of Fame over at Northwest Stadium. Santana, in week one, will have his name added to the Ring of Honor. He'll get to address the crowd at halftime. Santana, congratulations,
congrats,
man. Very, very cool.
Thank you, man. What's up, fellas?
Chilling. Everything's good. I got to catch up with you for a moment there at practice after you found out, and you were still very emotional. I got to imagine it was just a wild day. Were you completely surprised and caught off guard?
Completely surprised. You know, honestly, man, it's crazy. Two of my friends was there. One of them lived in the area, and we had been talking. These two guys talk about stats, receivers, running backs, you name it. They're those historians of the game type of friends where they always debating each other about who's who. So when they put me, they involve me, I normally shut them down. You know, I'm normally like, look, bro, I don't really care about all that because I don't. And for myself, they would bring me up at times, and I'm like, bro, I did it. You know, I actually went out there and did it. So whatever someone wants to give me, then it'll be deserving due to what I put up. And the whole while, they was baiting me because they knew already. And they just wanted to tell me, but they knew they couldn't tell me. So it was just crazy, man, to see that they knew this all this while for the last 2 months. And I found out that day, and they kept the secret that good.
It really is the well-deserved, my friend. And getting to know you over the years, as we've been fortunate enough to do, that attitude isn't just sort of a front. It's not a fake thing. I don't want to talk about myself. It's really kind of what you've always sort of been about. I'd love you to go back to the first time that you knew you were coming here to Washington. And how soon did it feel like home? Because it seems like you adopted this place and kind of made it part of you, and that relationship with the fans really shone through.
So, you know, I tell people the story about, you know, the whole process of getting drafted to the Jets. The week of, all I heard was Washington. Mm-hmm. Washington Press called me. Folks was telling me, how does it feel to come to Washington? I'm one of those guys, man. Until it's done, don't talk to me about nothing until it's done. And so I'm glad I didn't get my hopes high because I end up in New York in a place that I – verbally told someone that that's the only place I didn't want to go. And it's crazy. It wasn't nothing against the team. It was just I wasn't fond of New York City. Big lights. I didn't want to be a part of that. But anyway, it grew on me. And I had 4 great years there and didn't really want to leave when it was time to leave. But instantly, when I got here in Washington, when I stepped off of Dan Snyder's plane, man, it felt like home. It felt like it was meant for me to be here the whole while. And then I started hearing stories after that from Dan and from other guys who I met when I was with the Jets. They was telling me that every year I was a Jet, Dan was trying to trade for me, except the year that I came. And Dan was like, bro, it's crazy that you came here this year in 04 when, I mean, 05, when I stopped asking for trades for you in 03. So I just feel like when those moments come true like that or come through, it's just meant for it to happen.
3 1,000-yard seasons here in Washington, including an 1,100-yard campaign toward the end in 2010 and a 1,483-yard season that was one of the best
years, man. Wow.
By a Washington wide receiver in decades, a 9-touchdown, 84-grab season. Santana Moss is going into the Ring of Fame, joining us here on Grant and Danny. Tana, I said this on the air yesterday, and I mean this. I don't know that I've ever told you, you know, to your face, but having been around, I think this is now my 26th training camp and interviewing players since 1999, and specific to my time, specifically on the beat, like, you're one of my favorite guys that I ever interacted with, covered, interviewed, whatever, because of your, you know, how authentic you are. And
yeah.
I just wonder, like, what was your mindset with the media in your career? Because it was never, you weren't like a cameras on guy where you lit up because the camera's on. You always kind of spoke your mind, but you never did it in a way where you were calling people out. And like when you were to talk to young players about that, what would you tell them?
So I would tell them a little story that happened to me in New York where I was being the same guy that you've kind of met from day one, a humble guy that, and I don't have to call myself that. That's just been my whole nature about myself. I told a reporter, I'm a young guy. I'm trying to still, you know, get, I guess you could say, adapt to the game. And it's right after practice. I have a meeting. I'm almost late for this meeting because I stayed out to get better and catch passes. So I tell a reporter, hey, not right now. I'm about to miss meetings. I'm about to be late for meetings. So I didn't have that interview with that reporter. And all I know is I'm going to the stadium that weekend on that Sunday. That was Friday when I didn't talk to the guy. Sunday, every fan is pouring out to me like, hey, we with you. Don't worry about that. That, you know, screw this, screw that. So I'm like, what is going on? I get in the locker room, Wayne Corbett asks me, give me your book bag. And he's rolling up a paper. And he says, I'm going to put this in your book bag. Do not look at it until the game is over. Long story short, I go out and have my first 100-yard game. We playing against Randy Moss. That was like a Moss against Moss game, my first time ever playing against Randy. I'm a big fan of Randy. And I go out there and have more yards than Randy, and we win. I come in there and read. This guy put me on front page and said I was a bust. So that right there, well, you don't understand for all the hard work I put in. I just went through a whole season where I missed my first year because I was injured. And this is year two. I'm trying to get acclimated. I'm trying to do the best I can be. And you're going to tell me I'm a bust because I didn't talk to you. That right there was my I guess you could say, ticking point to prove to him and anybody else who thought those type of things of me. And I made sure that anytime a reporter came my way, I talked to him, not because I wanted to prove this guy that I would talk to you guys, but I wanted to prove to him that it wasn't that big of a deal for me to tell you or for you to just wait on me or just catch me next time, brother. So, I took it upon, you know, it was my duty, man. Every time I got around guys like yourself, I understood a little more about, you know, you guys have a job, I have a job. But as long as we on the same page, I'm going to talk to you regardless, good or bad. I never cared about, you know, getting in front of that camera and just speaking my mind because I felt like I have a chance to kind of rewrite the narrative every time I'm in front of that camera.
Santana Moss with us here on Grant and Danny. So go back to those first couple of years, Santana. You mentioned the injury, and I always forget, like, we're in such a microwave society, especially when it comes to sports, that we just expect first-round pick, instant success. Otherwise, let's write them off, and we got to move on to the next thing. Go through some of those tougher times, and how did you sort of, you know, maintain your confidence level when the production probably wasn't where you wanted it? That third season when you broke out, my goodness gracious, what an incredible year, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns for that Jets team. But when was the lowest, and how hard was it to kind of still believe in Santana Moss?
Man, year one was so tough for me as a rookie, man. First time I'm away from home. You got to think about it. Born and raised in Miami, played college ball in Miami. now I'm in the Big Apple, and everybody and their mama is banking on me to go out here and be this hit. And I'm not. I got injured in training camp and fan appreciation night. So I'm sitting there just trying to be healthy as I can be, having a positive mindset, but the papers are killing me. And I'm like, well, what can I do injured? What can I do hurt, brother? I didn't ask for this. And so fast forward, I try to get back out there. Week 12, I believe, was my first game. I'm not even sure. I know I played the last four games of the season. Would you believe that the first game that I played was at home in Miami? And guess what? I don't tell anybody, but I tear my quad. Because I'm not ready, and everybody wants me to be ready. They throw me out there. They want to see fast Santana. They want to see me beating guys deep. They want to see me beat his punt returner, and I'm not physically ready. So, man, I went through so many things emotionally, physically, and then year two, I just told myself that offseason, I'm going to rebuild myself. That offseason, I got another surgery on that same knee to clean up some things, and I went straight into the lab. And, you know, people don't know this, but year two was my breakout year. Because year two, I led the league in punt return touchdowns, and I was the first team All-Pro that year. But people don't talk about that. You talk about all the other stuff. So I think year two was the kind of, I guess, stamp that, Tanner, you could play in this league. Mm-hmm. And then that's why year three was so special, because that was my first chance getting a chance to start. When Coles left, they started me in week five, and I took off.
Santana Moss on Grant and Danny's Going to the Ring of Fame, joining us here on The Fan. So, Tanner, I think some people forget the Cowboy Killer that was born in Dallas, one of the great games of my, I call it childhood, but I was a teenager at the time. But Monday Night Football, the two long touchdowns when you guys were down 13-0 to single-handedly beat Dallas, Mark Brunell having to crow hop into those throws, that was only your second game here. I think people kind of sleep on the fact they traded for you going into the 05 season. You had a really good first game. You had 95 yards. And then the second week ever with this team was when you beat the Cowboys. And that, what better way to indoctrinate yourself to this fan base than that? What do you think that did, not only for your career, but for your being a fan favorite? Like, how much did that change things, and how noticeable was it?
That was it, man. That was welcome to D.C. That was my welcome to – that was my moment of telling you this is who you guys got. This is what I've been about from day one. This is the guy that I wanted to prove to the world – that I was in New York out the gate. And everyone saw that. Aaron Glenn was one of the guys that played on that team with me in New York that practiced with me before I got hurt. He used to be in my ear every day, like, Tanner, you are finna kill this league. I was doing that stuff as a rookie in practice. People was like, oh, boy, this is finna be fun to watch.
And Glenn then, boom, was the corner, right, with Roy Williams on both of those touchdowns.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I said it was funny that happened against him, because the first touchdown at our court, I asked Coach, can I run that? Because I remember Marvin Harrison running that against Aaron Glenn and Marcus Coleman back in the day when I was a Jet, and he would always get open on that. So I put that in that week, hoping that I can get to run it, and they forgot about it the whole game into the late parts of the game. And then Coach came and asked me, did I want to run it? And I'm like, what the heck? And the rest has been history.
So that 2005 team, if you'll go back, receiving options, it was obviously besides you, it was Chris Cooley kind of in the middle, and then Clinton Portis underneath. Yeah. There weren't other receivers there that contributed a lot of catches and looks. How challenging was that, right? I mean, just to not have kind of an opposite number of Robin to your Batman on one side. Those other guys were really good players, good receivers, but just different than not having someone that terrified defenses, maybe going over the top or doing something else. How challenging was that?
It really wasn't challenging that year. Like, I was on a level of, I didn't know what was going on, but we was literally drawing plays up as the week went on. Like, they was putting me in situations. That was the first time in my career that a team had actually used me for what I was. I was a weapon. I can play the slot. Mm-hmm. I can play in the backfield. I can play anywhere on the field. Up until that point, I had only been used on the outside at 5'9.5". Who would do that? I didn't do that in college. In college, I was in the slot a lot. Then I would go outside. You know what I mean? So it was just funny that here I am in the NFL where people told me at my structure I won't even make it, but then I proved them wrong and showed them I can play outside, but then they just leave me outside. But 05 was the first year when Coach Gibbs kind of went into that little bag and say, look, man, we noticed you have a skill set. You have a skill set to track the ball. You can jump out the gym. We didn't know you was a jumper. I'm like, I don't understand how I jumped over 42 vertical when I came out. We didn't know all these things, and we see it now. We're going to use you in these spots. He's going to write up plays. If you can run them, tell us yeah or nay. Every play they wrote up, I said yay, and it worked because I knew that I was better than just a guy you leave out there and just tell me to run deep balls. Give me the ball now, and I can show you what I can do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Tana, there's probably a ton of others, but I came up with three games that aren't that Cowboys game everybody talks about early on in your time in D.C. that I think were memorable. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on any of these games or if there's another game that stands out as, like, that was one that I really enjoyed. But I've got that Chiefs game where you took the bubble 78 yards. You had 10 for a buck 73. That was a few weeks after the Cowboys game. And if I remember correctly, that was the day that Jared Allen just killed you guys. Like, single-handedly, he beat
what a monster he was.
But you had an unbelievable game. We played the highlight from the Jacksonville game. You had four catches all day, but 138 yards and three touchdowns, including the OT winner. And then I remember the five-game winning streak end of 05 to get into the playoffs as you and Clinton were carrying the offense with Cooley. You go for a buck 60 and three scores against the Giants in the penultimate game.
Yeah.
I mean, those are some that stand out. Are there games other than the Cowboys one that everybody mentions that you take particular pride in or that anything kind of conjures up with?
I think you hit all of them on the head as far as my earlier years. Later years, that, like in 2008 and 2010, I have some games that stick out. I can't speak of them right now, but they're in the top of my head that I was in that same kind of mode. But I think, you know, one of the things that stood out to me, what me and those same two guys I spoke of, you know, my two closest friends, when we talk about football, man, I always tell them, I say, you know, when folks get up in these debates and all this stuff, I try not to get into those debates because the one thing I've always proved, whether it was a winning year, winning season, losing season, whether it was a game we won or a game we played bad in, when you gave me opportunity, I showed you what I can do. When the opportunity wasn't there, it's not my fault. I can't do much. You see? So that's what I took pride in. When coaches gave me opportunities, and I think early in my career in Washington, Coach Gibbs had it wide open for me, knowing that my skill set was elite. I can do a lot of things that the average guy, my structure can't do. And he noticed that off the gate, and he told me, Tan, I'm just going to give you plays. If you can't do them, just tell me no. And you know I'm not going to say I can't do something. So everything he gave me, man, I told him, yeah, and it worked. It actually worked. So that's one of the things that I loved about having Coach Gibbs. And then later when I had Kyle and them, Kyle used to tell me, Tan, I've been trying to get you in this offense so long. I'm mad that I got to you so late. And by that time, I had my third knee injury when Kyle them got here. But fortunately, even after having that third knee surgery in 2010, I still went out there and caught for 1,000 yards, but I wasn't still that 4-2 guy. I was more like a 4-4, still separating. But for me to go out there and, you know, have a knee surgery, didn't have no offseason, and to still go out there and put up 1,000-something yards and catch for 93. I think I had 93 catches that year. That was the first time I caught in the 90s. You know, that just showed you, man, that it didn't really matter if I was a 4-3, 4-2 guy. Just get me the ball, I'm going to make plays.
Tell people about the ceremony, man. What's it going to be like? What's going to happen? Is there going to be a weather system in your eyes when you got to address the crowd? What's going to happen?
I'm going to let whatever happens happen. And these emotions are going to take over, and I'm going to soak it all in, man. You know, this is one of those first times that I can honestly say somebody, and I can't say first because the University of Miami put me into their Hall of Fame, you know, but that was something different. You know, college is different. I accepted that, and I remember being a little emotional that night. I didn't shed that or no tears that night, but this is different because, man, it's a lot of guys to go through, you know, those halls down there in Ashburn, man, at Coach Gibbs Park. And it's so many different players and receivers, you name it, man. And to be this 52nd guy, man, that they put up there, man, that's going to be something that I will always cherish. And I will always be able to, you know, whether I'm in the city or not, I can look and say, they got my name right there in that stadium, you know? I've seen minutes.
That's quite an honor.
It's phenomenal, dude.
So it's 52. I didn't realize. So basically, it's like they formed one team of the all-time players, and you made it. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm in there.
Santana, congrats, dude. Well-earned, well-deserved. Very,
congrats,
very
buddy.
Happy for you.
Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you got it. We'll see you week one at Northwest Stadium. The Cowboy killer, Santana Moss, he was the guy in that era offensively that could bring the people to their feet.
And it's extra special. I mean, this organization's known for offensive line, probably one. 1A, maybe two, should be receiver. one of the great receiver organizations. I know, like, if you look at the depth of some of the greats that have been here, there's no Jerry Rice, there's no maybe Marvin Harrison, but everyone from Art Monk to Charlie Taylor to Gary Clark to Bobby Mitchell, Ricky Sanders, you go through the litany of great receivers that have come through here, to be among that number, it may be a little bit extra special, man. It's really cool and well-deserved.
Here's the question I think that plays on the phones, and we want to touch the people on next. Want your opinions on this out there. Who else from that era would belong in the Ring of Fame? Santana's a guy that when we find out he's going in, everybody goes, of course.
Goes, yep.
Absolutely. But it was an era where the team didn't win, which you don't want to hold against guys. But because of that, and it's kind of a what came first, the chicken or the egg, there's not going to be nearly as many guys that get in from, you know, the 2000s or the 2010s than from the 80s and the 90s. So the question becomes, what other players from the Santana Moss era, 2000 to now, over the last quarter century, deserve to be in the Commanders Redskins Ring of Fame? 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Big thanks to Santana Moss for stopping through. He's been out at training camp. All of our camp coverage on the Fan's presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Santana Moss is Ring of Fame bound. Who from his era should join him? That is the question. At 800-636-1067, we'll hit the calls in a moment when we get to our double play coming up at 3:45. As well, we're going blitzing in about a half hour. Brian Baldinger's on the show today at 5, and you're going to hear from Trey Amos, the rookie cornerback. Second-round pick, was having a good camp. I caught up with him after practice, and you'll hear that interview for the first time live on the Fan at 4:30 today in 1 hour. Danny, give me one player from the Santana Moss era who should also go to the Ring of Fame.
Chris Samuels. This is a perennial Pro Bowl left tackle. Hard to find good counting stats on this kind of thing. So I will say for 10 years, he was as good as anybody at the position. Washington couldn't do much right in a lot of positions, a lot of circumstances, a lot of coaches, lack of a GM, quarterback carousel, etc. They were blessed for whatever reason to just have a couple of guys baton passing between each other. 2 decades, basically, of excellent left tackle play. The one position they didn't have to worry about. Chris Samuels joined the team in 2000. Through 2009, I think tied for 16th or 17th in all-time approximate value in team history, not just during that current era. He's up there with the likes of Bobby Mitchell and Neil Okowitz and some of the greats that have played for this organization, for this team. Not as sexy as maybe some of the guys with the receptions and the touchdowns and the yards, but Chris Samuels was a star, and he was really consistent, really good here.
The Miami buddy of Santana Moss, Clinton Portis, needs to be in the Ring of Fame at some point. 6,824 rushing yards, second all-time behind only John Riggins in franchise history. And he did it in 30 fewer games. You know, if you give him another 30 games at roughly 75 yards or so a game, you add 2,200 yards to that total, he blows past John Riggins. So just from a yards per game standpoint, Riggins was about 65, Portis was 81.2. If you look at touchdowns, Riggins runs him out of the gym. But in terms of efficiency and yards and some of those types of metrics, you can make the case Clinton Portis is every bit as explosive and as dominant a running back as Riggins was, albeit in an era where they weren't winning, and so the runs weren't as meaningful or impactful. But Portis once led the league in rushing attempts as a bell cow workhorse for Joe Gibbs. He single-handedly, I shouldn't say it that way, but you know, he carried the team to the playoffs in 2005, 5 wins in a row down the stretch, basically with him going for a bill every game. He had a huge stretch run in 2007 after the death of his great friend Sean Taylor. Yep. He had to carry them to that postseason, and he did. 4 straight wins to get into the postseason. He was also super important off the field. Obviously came over via trade. 64-yard touchdown run on his first play. Everybody who was a fan of the team at that time remembers that snap like it was yesterday to open a season against the Tampa Bay Bucks. I want to say one of the last times you were ever at the stadium.
Round row one, seat one is where I was sitting. My dream seats with my friend Jessica Wu and James Platts. First, I go, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We're winning every game forever. That one touch, one touchdown, 64 yards. This is perfect.
I don't want to say this one because I wanted to leave it for someone on the phones, but we've got Moss actually going into the Ring of Fame. Danny wants to add Chris Samuels from the 2000s. I'm saying Clinton Portis deserves to go from the 2000s. Let's go to Jay, who's in L.A., listening on the Odyssey app, which is free and available wherever you are. What's up, Jay? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
I appreciate you guys leaving me the lowest hanging fruit. But I think, obviously, Chris Cooley, a fan favorite, multiple-time Pro Bowler. He was one of the most consistent tight ends that we've ever had. On top of being a security blanket for all those years, you know, he was, I think he ranks, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know he ranks at the top of our franchise, tight end statistics and all that. He was consistent. He was durable. And he also had a great personality. I remember his interviews on and off the field. He was just like a true Redskin, a true commander, whatever you want to call him. But Chris Cooley, I think, obviously deserves to be there.
Yeah, he was a Redskin. He wasn't a commander. And you're right. He was kind of the face of the franchise. A fan favorite, beloved. It was him and Moss and Portis,
yep,
as the entire offense for the better part of a decade, basically. Cooley's second all-time among tight ends in receiving yards. Only Jerry Smith, who was about 160 yards ahead of him, and Cooley unfortunately got derailed by injuries and couldn't catch him. But he very well could have and would have. As far as all-time catches at the position, Cooley far and away the leader. 429. No other tight end in team history has more than 380. He was my favorite player growing up, I guess I would say. Like when I was playing backyard football with buddies in high school in a field near our school after we got out and, you know, had a couple hours before the sun went down in the fall, we were playing tackle football, pickup football. I was acting like Chris Cooley, running short crossing routes and trying to break tackles. Let's go to Carlos in Saverna Park. What's up, man?
See, this is why I don't own a team. Because, you know, I'm 33 years old. I'm nostalgic. If it was up to me, I'd put Mike Sellers. I'd put Marcus Washington. I'd put Chris Cooley. I'd put Mark Brunell. I'd put all those people from that era because, as a kid, that would excite me. So, to answer your question, I can't choose, but I would tell you what. I would put that team, that whole entire team, in a all-team ring of fame.
Who That's should go in next, Carlos? Which guy from that era?
Look, it has to be Chris Cooley. Or I'm pretty sure Clint Portis is in there, right? Because if he is not, then he should be next as well.
Portis is not in there, no. Moss is the first of that group.
Yep.
I guess you could say London Fletcher was the same era, although I think he was kind of even after some of the guys.
A little bit later, but not by much. They crossed over a couple years.
But it's interesting that he's already in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a fringe Hall of Famer, but it's just odd the way things happened.
Yes.
Moss came first. Moss stopped playing, I think, either at the same time or a little bit before.
Yeah, Fletcher's last year was 2013.
So was Moss's, I think.
Moss's also. 2014, he played, had like 10 catches.
Gotcha.
Long area.
Let's go to Larry in D.C. What's up, Larry?
I mean, I'm gonna always respect Chris Cooley. I think people would look more of his off-field personality to me, as well as Clint Portis. But I think, what about Trent Williams? You know what I'm saying? I got big respect, real quick. I got big respect for Chris Sanders. He coached my son to the state championship at Northwest in Montgomery County. So, and I've talked to him personally. I got huge love for him. But I just think Trent Williams is still playing at a high level. So I think Chuck Williams, and I think Chris Cooley and Clint Waters is known more for off the field and their personality, and we love them just the way the fans deal with them than what they did on the field. That's just my opinion.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, dude.
I would disagree with that take. I mean, again, Chris Cooley, far and away the most catches in team history at his position. You know, Clinton Portis, go back to 05, go back to 07. This guy's he ran for 1,500 yards in a season. He carried the team. But
well over 300 attempts three different times.
Yeah, I agree with you that they were both very personable, big personalities, and that helped the fame and the popularity. But those were really good football players. Don't get it twisted, I don't think, on that. Trent Williams is a great answer. And I'm surprised nobody had said him yet, or you and I didn't even bring him up. From this perspective, it ended very badly in the way of like him being at odds and hating the team. And would he come back? I would think so now that Dan's gone and Bruce is gone. And those are some of the guys he had issues with. But if you add in what's happened later, this is an 11-time Pro Bowler and a 3-time first-team All-Pro who he is going to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. How many guys that have played for this team can you say that about overall, let alone post-Super Bowl era?
Yeah.
Post the last time this team lifted a Lombardi trophy, that 91 Redskins team that was so good, how many guys that have played here are legit first ballot Hall of Famers? He's probably the only one.
You would say so. I mean, even during that era, it was impossible to get guys in. Ask Joe Jacoby and Art Monk for whatever reason. It took years of scratching and clawing by advocates to finally convince enough of the masses to get him in there. But yes, the point's well seen.
And the majority of his career will have been in Washington because he's at 9 years with Washington and 5 with San Francisco going into this year.
I didn't mention Trent Williams, A, because he's still playing, and B, I figured someone else would, but yeah, that's one of those, I think you got to finish playing before you're inducted into the Ring of Fame. I don't know if that's a rule, but it's been long enough that maybe you could. If they come visit here, you could say he's a Ring of Fame player. I don't know if there's a rule that you got to be
sure,
retired.
But we're not asking who's the next one. We're asking who else should be in
who
from
should
that
be
era.
Yeah.
And Trent Williams sure as heck should be.
That's an answer.
Let's go to Simon in Richmond, Virginia. How are you?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was thinking in the 2000s, Ryan Kerrigan was good on the field, off the field, kind of face of the franchise. And I think you guys mentioned London Fletcher was already inducted. Other than that, like, I was a huge Champ Bailey fan, and that Chris, you know, if Clinton Portis is on there, then, like, you know, maybe he's worth considering as well.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you. Yeah, Bailey just wasn't here long enough. Not
Correct.
His fault, by the way.
Sad.
Yeah.
5 seasons, and then he went to Denver. Unlike Portis, who started in Denver and then came here and spent the span of his career here, Kerrigan is a perfect answer.
Yes.
There are certain guys that I would say, if they don't eventually end up on the Ring of Fame roster, an injustice has been done. I would say that about Portis. I would say that about Cooley. I would say that about Kerrigan for sure. I would say that about Trent Williams. Is there anybody else that it would be an injustice if they didn't get in, like where it's not debatable? Because Kerrigan is on that short list, I would say that about.
Yeah, Samuels, for me, goes on there where it should absolutely happen, but it's not necessarily much longer than that list. There are other guys that might make it, for sure, but I don't think where you go, how could you not have that guy, right, just from that era?
I'd put Chris on that list, too, Chris Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
10 years he did play.
Yeah.
You think like because of the neck injury that derailed him, 6-7 years. No, he was a 10-year player. Now, the last year, he only played the 5 games, but for the first 9 seasons of his career, he only missed a few games. And more often than not, he was a several-time Pro Bowler. He was on a Hall of Fame-type track.
Yes.
Because at that position, as we're seeing with Trent Williams, you can play deep. And sometimes it's, you know, it's not until your 32, 33, 34 season like Trent. He never was a first-team All-Pro here. That happened in San Fran when he was on some really good offenses later in his career when everybody already knew he was great. And who knows if that would have happened for Chris Samuels. At that time is kind of when his body started to break down on him. But another fantastic human being. Just a really, really good guy. Former number 3 overall pick as well.
That's right.
LeVar went 1 pick ahead of him at 2 when Washington was picking 2nd and 3rd in the draft. Can you imagine if that happened in this era, by the way?
You get picks 2 and 3.
2 picks in the top 3 for Washington, what that would be like on this radio station.
I think we'd enjoy that. I think I'd have some fun.
Double play is next. That's always fun. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is time for our double play, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Brian Baldinger in an hour and 15 minutes at 5. John Keim with the latest from Ashburn. Covers the team for ESPN.com at 6. And remember, Commanders rookie corner making news by having a great camp. Trey Amos, the second rounder, stops by at 4:30.
2 reviews in 1 here. I've been dying to do this for a while, but we've been doing a bunch of different stuff. I saw Superman, the new James Gunn film.
You did?
Yes, a little while ago now, whenever that was. Last week at some point, I don't know. So 2 reviews in 1. If you don't care about anything and would like to see a fun popcorn flick, it's fine. Go see it. If you have, second review, if you have any affinity, if you have any care about the character, the ethos, the story, who this is supposed to be, why can't they get this right? Why can't they do it? I do not need to watch Superman get his ass handed to him for 2 hours. Nope. If you turn in that draft, I send your ass back to the editing room and fix it where Superman might win a fight. Maybe. Occasionally, the Man of Steel might get a punch or two in. If you have a moment in between slow motion googly eyes or teeth getting knocked out or the dog saving the day. Did you get your quips off, James? It's quirky. How fun is it? It's like Guardians. Oh my God, it's so busy and nuts. What are we doing? No. Turn around and fix it. What is Superman? A static, boring character that is meant to be the archetype of who we're supposed to be, right? He's frail. He's fragile. He's got his horn-rimmed glasses. He's just trying to do the best he can. He gets, whoopsie daisy, I spilled coffee on myself. And then he turns into the best. What does he stand for? Truth, justice, and the American way. Just say it once. It's supposed to be a little campy. It's supposed to be a little bit cheesy. The best one they've ever done is the original. Back in the day, the Richard Donner film with the perfect soundtrack. But no, 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 no. We can't do that. We've got to make this busy little bee, alien weirdness, pocket universe nonsense. Good acting performances. Nicholas Holt, the guy that plays Lex Luthor, I thought turned in a really good performance.
He's good.
The rest of the movie, you know, I think Corn Sweat's fine, given what he's supposed to do, which was whine a lot about being Superman. Stop whining. Superman doesn't whine. Superman kicks ass, but doesn't kill and turns the guys into the authorities. Superman saves the day, knowing he might have to go fight the same enemy again. Stop it. I don't know why we just can't do the right thing. I don't understand why it's so bleeping hard. I know it's hard to make a good movie. It's hard to make a good movie in the sweet spot when your main character, frankly, is kind of boring. But that's the challenge. Don't take it on if you're going to muck it up. Don't take it on if you're going to have 2 hours of Superman getting his ass handed to him, Grant. I just can't believe it. I can't believe anybody that at any point in time that has given a damn about Superman or about DC Comics or about the superhero is doing anything other than screaming their head off about how ridiculous it is that Superman spent 2 hours losing and getting bailed out by a dog. What in the hell is happening? Why does it have to be so hard? Superman wins. The only way you could stop him or foil him is to have two different things that are going on opposite ends of the planet at the exact same time, and he has to pick. That's what you do. That's the predicament you set up. It's got to be predictable. It's got to be the deal, but so is Superman. He doesn't change.
The crisis of identity. Am I here to be mean?
No, you're Superman. What do you stand for? Truth, justice, the American way. Put it on your underpants to remind yourself. You can look down like a cheat sheet. It's so simple, and they make it so complicated. God, I was annoyed. I'm sitting there in the theater, just piping mad. I'm sitting there just looking at the screen going, nope, 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 nope. I don't care that you got a clone from his hair. I don't care that the dude is also Superman, kind of with a bad dude, and Lex Luthor studied his moves, so he's hitting buttons on a joystick, so you're fighting him. I don't give a rat's hind parts. Superman kicks everyone's ass. He's Superman. The Justice League is just there to do the small fires. They're there to get cats out of trees because Superman is dealing with the cosmic threats. He's got the big boys. Superman is the best. Everyone else is just kind of has like one of his powers. One guy's super strong. One guy's kind of fast. One guy's kind of clever. You know what Superman is? All of it. Let him win something at some point. All he does is bitch and moan and get his ass kicked. And then he sees some sunlight and he's fine again. Wrong. Incorrect. 1 out of 10 carbohydrates. If you don't care about the movie, you don't care about Superman the character, it's fine. Probably 6.5 or 7. Worth seeing a summer blockbuster. But for anybody that cares, you probably saw it and you probably don't know why I'm so angry. I've tried to explain it the best I can. Tag, you're it.
I thought the dog was in the movie too much and saved the day too many times. That part I'll agree with. Like, as a dog guy, you're not a dog guy. I understand that. You would think I would be team dog. I want the dog in the movie. It's fine. There's 3 or 4 different scenes where what could have or should have happened once as comedic relief happens, which is that the dog comes to Superman's rescue as Superdog or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in the opening credit scene where he just got beat up and gets thrown on the snow, and then they drag him back to his house. It happens at the end of the movie when he's about to lose, and then the dog saves the world and saves everybody, including Superman. It just felt like they used that note too many times for my liking. But I didn't mind that he got beat up a few times, because as you just brushed right past, he was fighting himself. He wasn't losing a fight to a bad guy that was just some random dude. He was fighting Superman. He was fighting his cloned self, who knew exactly what he was going to do. They kind of explain away why he's able to be beaten in this fight. You don't have to like it, but they explain it.
I certainly don't. Yeah, he's losing to the chick with the machine arms. He loses to everybody. He's getting his ass kicked by everybody, left and right, six ways from Sunday. Superman got his ass beat by everyone. Nope.
I mean, I this is definitely the number one, like, anger that people have. And it's, maybe I'm just not enough of a comic book nerd, but I've seen this everywhere that everyone goes, how dare him lose a fight? I didn't think about that once during the movie.
Yeah, but it's because regular, for if you're just going to see a film, you
exactly.
saw a film.
But I guess if you're a comic book nerd, you can't get past it. When I went and saw it, and I was kind of formulating my thoughts, and I looked up some reviews and some different things, that was certainly the biggest gripe, was like, how does Superman lose all these fights? He's Superman. And I was like, I guess he did lose a lot of fights, but he's fighting against himself. So Superman's actually winning the fight. Superman, with the help of someone who's telling him and telegraphing moves, is beating up Superman. I guess spoiler alert. Is it too late? Should we say that now?
I don't care.
Here's a big spoiler. The dog saves everything 17 times.
The whole thing is the dog. They might as well have called the damn thing Crypto.
Should I know who the girl is at the end? His cousin? Or is that just...
Yeah, it's Supergirl. And they introduced her as like kind of a, she's way less put together than Superman is.
Yeah, so she's going to be a movie soon?
Yeah.
Okay. Good enough.
Yeah.
So you liked it, sounds like.
No.
Okay.
Infuriating. Blood-boiling film. Again, if you don't care about the character and you just want to see a fun summer movie.
When did you go?
It is that. Last week.
Good for you.
I've been sitting here
morning
stewing.
Morning or evening?
Morning. I've been waiting to scream about this every day. And every day we've had something, and I'm not angry about that. I'm angry about the movie, though. I'm angry about this.
Let's go to the Beltway Blitz next. See what Danny's upset about during the Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Amos at 4:30 on The Fan.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.